This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
So hello and welcome to Triple Captain. Here we are, this point of the season, which everybody who loves the Premier League despises. Just as you're getting into the Premier League, the international break comes around. I know it's, you know, the qualifiers and whatever, but I don't care about England at this point. I just want to focus on FPL. And Everton have had a great start anyway. I'm rambling in the first 10 seconds of the podcast. My name's Rich Wolfenden, Premier League commentator, joined as ever by my co-host, Luke Jerdy. How you doing, mate?
Thanks very much, Rich. Yeah, I'm very well. And I don't care about England if Mason Greenwood isn't in the England team. What is Gareth Southgate doing? How is Greenwood not in the England team? But we're not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about it. We are going to talk about Ronaldo, I'm sure, who's back at United. And of course, I'm absolutely buzzing being a United fan. But yeah, pleasure to be here. And we've got a very special guest. Would you like to introduce our guest, Rich?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've been waiting to get our guest on today for a long old time. So I'm delighted she's finally here. You'll probably recognise her from the official Fantasy Premier League account, site, website, whatever you want to call it. Olivia Bazzaglo is with us. Olivia, how are you?
Yeah, I'm really good, thank you. I'm not looking forward to talking about my FPL team for half an hour because of my start, but it's fine. But we can talk about Chelsea stuff. I'm happy to talk about that. But yeah, I'm on the whole, unless it's a major tournament, don't care about England. I'm all for, as long as Mason Mount's there.
We like our Masons.
Yeah, we like our Masons, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Obviously, we want to ask you so many questions about your FPL team, even though you are kind of, you know, a bit concerned. But I've had a bad start as well, so, you know, we can talk about that together. This is kind of like an FPL chaise longue, so you just lie down and just get out your worries and your concerns. So go on, I'm going to have to ask you, how are you getting on so far this season? 3 game weeks in.
Do you know, I shouldn't actually be too concerned because like we were just saying a second ago off air, I start badly every single season. Like I can't even remember the last time I started well. And I always sort of have this idea in my head that like, well, I'm going to wildcard by week 3 anyway. So what's the point in me having a half decent team for game week 1? I don't even know what's gone wrong, but it's just, I mean, I wish I could tell you like what my team was before, but I tried to like erase that from my mind because I've hit the wildcard active button already. Oh, and I've been changing my team like already. I've already done a couple of drafts. So yeah, it hasn't gone great, but the only saving grace is that this is me every season and I wildcard at this point every season. So, and I had last season, I had my best ever season starting slowly. So it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
That.
And are you like Man City of last season starting badly and then coming up to win? Or are you more like Burnley who start off quite badly and then just avoid relegation?
No. So I usually start off quite badly and I'm either like top or second. Last season was the best I've ever done in FPL. And I always used to tell people and be like, oh, me doing the FPL updates, I don't have that much of an advantage. But now I obviously did it 5 days a week last week, every other week. And obviously we research our own script, we research all the stuff, we write our own scripts. And obviously you get very involved in the whole FPL thing. And this season they changed it so that different presenters do it. So, and we don't write them ourselves. So I'm just reading a script that someone else is writing. Nothing's going in. So I actually do think last season when everyone was like, yeah, that you do have an advantage. And I was like, I don't. I definitely did, because now I'm only doing it once a week and I'm really struggling. However, last season I did finish top and we did a couple of money leagues and I won 350 quid, which is quite a lot.
I've never done that
league. So I did come top of that league and I was like second or third. I was in the top three for most of the league. So I can't complain too much.
So you finished at the top of the official FPL staff group?
No.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, that's so impressive.
No. So we have like a PLP, so like a Premier League Productions league. And right. I finished top 10, which I was very happy, about. But this was just like a random money league with a few friends. But yeah, like it was very, very, my climb to the top was very like, it wasn't like sudden. It was very just like that the whole way up through the season. Then I really peaked around like the April, May time, or like March time. I really, really peaked. And then I was at the top and then it was difficult to sort of knock me off. So I'm sort of hoping this happens this time. Otherwise, I might just be rubbish for the whole season.
It's interesting, isn't it? I've always wondered about the presenters of of the official FPL, if it is your own stuff, or if you're there for the presenting gig, you know, if you're reading scripts like I do. But so it's more like that this season, where your readings, rather than kind of doing a lot of your own research and that, it's scripts, is it?
Yeah, that's why we're at a disadvantage, because, you know, I've been doing this role for 3 years now. For the last 2 years, 2 years before this one, it was write your own, like research your own, write your own. And that, you obviously are then like invested in the game, and like who's got good fixtures and who's got a good, you know, record against a certain team, which I would never know, because I'm not just going to sit there and research that if I don't have to, if that makes sense. But now I'm like, oh, well, I read it on a Friday, which is captains anyway, like everyone, like all the captaincy picks are pretty self-explanatory. Like there's nothing really you need to research to do with a captain, because you just pick from your knowledge anyway, or from what you think. There's only a select few people that you might think. So I'm at a real disadvantage this year. So I think it's going to be, you'll really see this year whether I'm actually good at FPL, or if I was just good because I did it for like 2 years. So yeah, we're really going to see that.
I like your mindset though, of, you know, the best players in the league, you know who you're going to captain. Cause that's what I go with. I go with the gut feeling. All right. A little bit of stats that come up, that sort of thing. Luke's there with his pages and pages of spreadsheets going through, you know, goal records in the past seasons gone by and that sort of thing. So I can appreciate that.
I'm going to go with my gut for my captain. Yes. And it didn't pay off this week, because my gut was Harry Kane and it completely backfired. But I will always go with my gut. Like last season, I think I went Ollie Watkins against Arsenal. I just had a real feeling that he was going to score. And he did. He scored. I think they won 1-0, but he scored the only goal and he got all three bonus. So I got like 20 points from him, which is quite good. And so I'll always, if I'm umming it, like, umming and ahhing, I'll always go with the first person that I was like, yeah, I'm going to captain him. Because the longer I think about it, the more people come into the equation. So if I just go with who I was thinking first, but I already know who I'm captaining for game week 4.
So I think a lot of the questions at the moment are revolving around whether to wildcard or not. Obviously, you've pulled the trigger, and a lot of me and Rich haven't. And I think a lot of the people in the FPL community are talking about wildcarding, and mainly because it's something to talk about over international break, isn't it? As well, it's like, well, at least I've got time to make drafts and all that stuff. So you've pulled the trigger. Who's nailed in your team? In your wildcard team so far, who do you think you're not going to change?
Well, thing is, I always tell people, when, like, if people are like umming and ahhing on whether to wildcard, obviously if you want to make more than 3 or 4 changes, obviously you wildcard. But also, I wouldn't wait for your team to have a bad week. I think that's what people do. People look at their team and go, oh, it's really good, it's been going good, and then they get a really awful score, then they wildcard. Whereas I know, like, so one of the guys I work with has had 3 pretty good weeks and he's wildcarding, because he's like, there's certain players that you want to get in, and it's not worth taking -8s, -12s for. I've done my draft and I've actually managed to get, so Ronaldo, Lukaku, Antonio, Salah, Torres and Trent.
Bloody hell, have you managed that?
Right. I mean, I'm not quite sure you want to look at the rest of my team.
But right, like,
read you, so basically, I'll read you my, so this is like first draft. So this is probably going to change. Yeah. But so my starting 11 is Sanchez in goal, because I've had him. I'm probably just going to stick with him. I've then got Luke Ayling. I haven't picked a 4.5 midfield defender, which I need to do. Trent and Livramento. Then Torres, Damari Gray, Salah, and then Ronaldo, Lukaku, Antonio. So that's like a first draft. And actually, I'm looking at that and I'm like, that front three, if Ronaldo plays every game in the Premier League, I'm just not sure whether he will, but I feel like I can't wildcard and not have him.
Mm.
Absolutely. And then if he doesn't start, or if he doesn't start too many games, I've got a lot of money. He's 12.5, one of the most expensive players in the game. So I can then take him out and put Kane in. Do you know what I mean? So there is room to maneuver. But that's my first draft so far of my wild card. It will change, but I'm actually okay with it.
And just, I think Arsenal are going to turn it around. It's not a popular opinion at all, but they've been utterly terrible, let's be honest, so far. But the Brentford game, they were away at Brentford. Brentford were absolutely firing. The atmosphere was electric. Arsenal were missing key players. Then Ben White gets injured. Then they had to go and play Chelsea with Lukaku. Then they had to play City away. Like, I think now they've got such a good run of fixtures. If I was on a wild card, I'd be choosing Smith Rowe over Damari Gray every day of the week. I think Damari Gray will flatter to deceive. So I think you're onto something with Smith Rowe there, 5.4 million. And if you're trying to fit other premiums into your team, they play Norwich at home next. It's the perfect game to get back on track.
It is the perfect game. And I just feel like and then they've got Burnley away, which is a tough game, I think. And then they've got Spurs. But for those two fixtures, it could just be worth putting Smith Rowe in because he will be a real differential. You know, no one's going to have him because everyone's trying to stay away from Arsenal assets. But he will play both those games. And Norwich at home is almost the perfect fixture for Arsenal now. I mean, I think they're going to struggle to turn it around. I'm just struggling to see what's going on, what the plan is, I just don't know. But I think it's a real sticky situation because who comes in, you know, who takes that job now? It's a real difficult one. It's the most difficult it's ever been for any Arsenal potential manager. So, but I am keeping my eye on Smith Rowe for these two games. And then that might be just a move to Damari Gray if he continues or whatever. But yeah, I like the look of Smith Rowe. He's the only Arsenal asset I'm thinking of because I don't trust them to keep a clean sheet against Norwich. I think they'll win, but I don't trust them. I just don't trust them to keep a clean sheet.
No, absolutely not. Tierney's
smash
quite
one
good.
In.
Yeah, Pukki absolutely Tierney will smash good. One. Tierney looks good, but he's never going to get that clean sheet, is he? At all, playing for Arsenal. I've said on this podcast that Chelsea are going to win the league this season. Do you think that could happen or do you not want to tempt fate?
No, I think I'm already getting overexcited because, you know, that performance at Anfield I thought was brilliant from Tuchel first, but solid. Also brilliant from the players in the second half. I thought we were really comfortable at 1-0. And I think had we have scored a second goal, we probably, that game was done. And you know, if you can get positive results like that one, because we were down to 10 men, at the big six, like away games, and you've got the home games and you can win those, that gives you a very good chance. We're almost like not a perfect squad, but close to that. I think it's complete for this season. You know, we're looking at Thiago Silva, Azpilicueta aging, but for this season, it's perfect. I've always said if you put a striker that can score 15 to 20 goals a season in this team, that will be the difference. And even adding Saul, like something different in midfield and another option. And that was the one position that I thought we lacked a little bit of depth in. Everywhere else, I think we're completely covered. I'm trying not to get too excited, but, you know, we are looking like a team with a world-class manager, a brilliant squad with, you know, two brilliant players in each position. So I'd be really disappointed if we at least didn't challenge Manchester City. But I'm quietly confident that we can win the league this season,
and seeing Man City like slip up on the first game week as well, you must have been like, we've already got our noses in front here, we just have to stay there for another 37 game weeks, that's all it is.
It's a long season, and you know, consistency is something that Chelsea team hasn't had for years, especially in the league. And you know, we won the Champions League last season and we were brilliant across that run of games, really, really like dominant, I'd say. And we didn't really ever look like conceding in that run. But now the challenge is to do it over 38 games. And we've started brilliantly. We you know, you take a draw away at Anfield any day of the week.
Absolutely.
So as long as, you know, consistency and getting Romelu Lukaku scoring, then I think we're in a really, really good position. And, you know, Tuchel's already got one over, two over, three over Pep Guardiola already since he's come in. And he's got that mental sort of thing over Guardiola. So hopefully that can be the difference this season. But obviously City are City, and even City without a striker are brilliant. So it's going to be hard. And they've done it before. They know, you know, this team hasn't done it before.
Yeah,
it's got players that have, but as a squad, we haven't. So it's going to be good. I think we're in for a really good title race.
And speaking of the squad there, just bringing it back around to FPL, it's going to be hard this season, isn't it, to pick Chelsea assets for your FPL team because the rotation...
It's going to be I genuinely think it's going to be worse than Pep Roulette. Like, I genuinely think that I don't want to get involved in Pep Roulette. Obviously, I've got Torres now. I didn't want to get involved in that. He's just, for some reason, I've gone for Torres. But
good value.
He is good value. And I know it'll probably mess me up at some point because Pep will just drop him randomly. But he's the one player that I'm like open to having. And same with Chelsea. Romelu Lukaku is the only player I will have. There's a good run of games between game week 7 and I think 11, where we've got, you know, Brentford, Norwich, Southampton, where I might look to get a Chelsea defender in if by that time we've sort of established the back five that will play. But I'm staying away from Tuukka Rule apart from Romelu Lukaku. I want him. He is the one I'm going to captain for game week four. No, you know, playing Villa at home, no Martinez, no Mings. It's just that was my gut, and I'm going with that for game week four.
I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? I think a lot of we do it every season in terms of at the start of every season. I go, I'm not playing Pep Roulette. I'm not gonna play Tuchel Roulette, and they just get dragged in. Yeah, exactly. With the Torres thing now, yeah, everybody's loving Torres because he started three games. If you think he's going to start every game, there's absolutely no chance. And it's the same with Chelsea, isn't it? Apart from probably Lukaku and maybe Mason Mount and possibly Azpilicueta. Do you think he's probably the most nailed out of the defenders?
Yeah, I would say so, because he can obviously play right wing back as well. So that's two positions covered. And I think, you know, as good as Trevor Chalobah's been in pre-season and the first couple of games, you know, you want your players like Azpilicueta playing every week. It was brilliant last season, a really underrated season, I thought, you know, given his age, especially as well. And a lot of people wrote him off, I think, and thought he was brilliant. And he's a leader. He's the captain. He's someone you want on your team, you know. And I think, I think Tuchel relies on him. I think that's quite clear to see. And he's expensive, though. He's like 5.5, I think. Is he six, maybe?
Doesn't return much either, does he?
No. And, you know, he's got more potential to have attacking return when he plays as a right wing back. But if Reece James carries on playing after, obviously, Villa, if Reece James carries on playing like he had the first two games, then Azpilicueta will be playing centre back. And Reece James will be the one. But, yeah, trying to fit. I won't go for a Reece James or an Alonso or a Chilwell. I'll be going for like a Christensen or someone like that if I do go. The thing is with Mendy is that I always find that he doesn't like, he'll get you 6 points. That's it. Like if you're happy with 6 points, whereas, you know, Martinez will get you 6 points plus three bonus. And then he ends up getting double digit hauls if he keeps a clean sheet. And that's the difference, I think. So I probably will go with a Chelsea defender over Mendy. But I think, they're guaranteed clean sheets there, I think.
I agree, absolutely. We've got quite a lot of questions from our ever-growing Discord channel. If you want to join our Discord channel, just go to our Twitter bio, at FPL
Triple Cap.
Yeah, how have I not remembered this? It's 3 weeks into the season. Anyway, so FPL
Terrible
Triple Cap.
Terrible Rich.
The link is on there and you can join the Discord and we rate your teams and all that before the game week deadline. But we've got lots of questions on there for you, Olivia. Luke, have you got them in front of you?
I have, yeah. Well, should we start with Twitter? And then if we've got time... Wait, in fact, let's start with Discord because they're the loyal listeners. question from AFC Beanie. For those not on a wild card, is Ronaldo worth the transfer? Does he start or is Bruno enough cover until we see more? So if we haven't got a wild card, like myself and Rich, is Ronaldo worth the transfer? He's most likely going to have to take a -4 to get him in.
So I think Ronaldo comes in and he's on pens. I don't think there's any doubt about that. So Bruno then automatically becomes less attractive. But, you know, I'm putting Ronaldo in at my own risk, knowing that he might not 100% start against Newcastle. I think if you're not going to wildcard, I'm wildcarding because I then have the option to take him out if I want to, but I've got him. That's the main thing. But if I wasn't wildcarding, I probably would wait, you know, just to see if he starts the next couple of games. And I think Bruno will start every game. We know that for a fact. And for as long as Ronaldo doesn't, obviously Bruno will be on pen. So if I wasn't wildcarding, I wouldn't move for Ronaldo straight away. But if you're wildcarding, then I absolutely would.
I think I wholeheartedly agree with that. I mean, Luke's a massive Manchester United fan and I think he's got a tattoo of Ronaldo on his backside. That's what he was telling me today at golf.
I absolutely categorically have not.
Do you think he's going to start? Do you think he's going to start against Newcastle?
Surely
Ronaldo starts. It's Ronaldo. He doesn't even need any time with the team.
Exactly. And he's been with the international team. He's playing with Portugal. I think you're right. I think hold off. But if we get news that he's definitely going to start, I think I'll be bringing him in and captaining him against Newcastle and just taking that -4 because, he's just top class, isn't he? So let's do another question. So Twitter. We got Rob Yates has asked, is he asking the same question here? What with wildcard fever seemingly hitting FPL due to Cristiano Ronaldo and the rest of the transfer window, who are some of the overlooked gems who might not yet have seen the points returns that we expected? I'm thinking players like Harrison, Barnes, Zaha, Saka, Jimenez. So who are the overlooked gems who might not have seen the points returns?
I think Jimenez is a really good one. I think Wolves' luck will turn around at some point. It has to. You know what I mean? They can't create that many chances every game and not score a goal. And they've got a really nice run of fixtures between now. I think they've got the next three or four. I think are all green on the yeah. fixture difficulty ranking. So I think Jimenez. Do you know, part of me wanted to go for Emile Smith Rowe. And I know you probably shouldn't. Arsenal assets aren't the ones to be going for right now. I thought he was the brightest spark against Man City. Obviously, it wasn't a huge one, but you know, when he looked like he was the one that was trying to make things happen. And I think if you're going to go for any Arsenal attacker, it would probably be him. Damari Gray started brilliantly. Harvey Barnes is a difficult one. I had him for the first three game weeks and he blanked all three of them. He doesn't quite look the player he was. And that was just me taking a risk that maybe thinking after the Community Shield, when he looked quite exciting, that actually he would start better than he did. But these aren't players that I think you should jump on straight away. I think you need to wait a little bit more. You can't just chuck someone in and hope that they're going to start getting the turns. Obviously, you don't want to miss the boat, do you? Like I did with Saeed Benrahma.
Tell me about
me
it.
Me too.
Yeah, I just thought now there's no point me putting him in. There's no point me putting Benrahma in because I'm not gaining anything on anyone. I've got to try and think differently and sort of, I put Antonio in and I'm very glad I put Antonio in, but I didn't do that either for game weeks one or two. So I really, that's where I lost most of the points really for those two. Who else is there?
Just going on Leicester, do you think they'll kick on eventually? Because, you know, they were brilliant last season. They slipped away at the end, I suppose, but...
Yeah, they slipped away. There's a second season in a row now that they've slipped away. The second season in a row where they should have got Champions League and the same things happened. But they'll be there or thereabouts, I think. They've had an unfortunate amount of injuries to like key players at the back. So it's been quite hard. But I think Brendan Rodgers will turn it around. And their FPL assets are interesting as well because no one really goes for Jamie Vardy. You know, he doesn't look like he's going to slow down scoring goals anytime soon, but no one goes for him. James Maddison's not really an FPL sort of, you know, a good asset to always have. But their defenders are. And I think a lot of people, you know, went for a Marty being really cheap. And, you know, when James Justin comes back in, how much is he going to be? And how, you know, are people going to go straight for him? But I like Leicester assets. Every year I usually have a Leicester defender in my team. And I think I'm not going to go for one yet because I don't think a Marty will play for, I don't know how long he'll play for.
Vestergaard returns
a really
to the
cheap one. Yeah, so yeah. But I do like Leicester assets and I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, Pereira started well, hasn't he? He's got two assists, but he's injured again, unfortunately. So difficult to...
He's so expensive as well. Like,
yeah,
if you want
expensive.
All these like premium midfield and strike and like forwards, you can only really afford to have, you know, maybe if you don't have Trent, you can have a couple of those sort of like, you know, slightly less expensive defenders. But it's so difficult to... You've got to have to sacrifice someone big to have like a £6 or £7 million defender. It's so hard.
It's
so much harder
game,
than it's ever been.
It's
just getting harder and harder and harder. And the £100 million mark isn't going anywhere. So it's like, yeah, you've definitely. Then got to try and fit more and more premium like assets in your team without having the money to do it.
It's so annoying. You think you have a good game week and then you see the average is 89 or something like that. And I'm like,
I was saying this on the pod, like just after probably last week, that literally the only difference from a good start and a bad start is Antonio and Benrahma at the moment. Like if you didn't have those two, it's just unlucky. And it is really, really close still. So it will only take one good game week to get yourself right back up.
We got any more questions? I think we've got time for maybe one more and then maybe a couple.
Yeah. So we've got Chelsea FC underscore art. So this is obviously big Chelsea fan, Olivia. So pressure's on. should I follow everyone else and stick Ronaldo in or keep Lukaku? Who's going to get more points for me? Ronaldo v Lukaku. Go.
I've actually had a bet with my boyfriend that he loves Ronaldo. So he's an Arsenal fan, but like he's very Ronaldo. I'm very Messi. But he thinks Ronaldo's going to score more goals and I think Lukaku's going to score more goals. personally, I think Lukaku's guaranteed to play every single Premier League game. I don't see in what world. He's 28. He's nearly 10 years younger than Ronaldo. I don't see in any world that Thomas Tuchel drops him, rests him, whatever. But it's Cristiano Ronaldo, and he's going to score goals. That's what he does. He's going to be playing as a number nine. He's just going to be in the box. And like my Chelsea head's telling me to for you to go Lukaku, but my maybe FPL head's going, go Ronaldo.
Well, I think this person's got Lukaku already. So he's saying, would you transfer Lukaku out or would you stick with him? I think I'd stick with him for this game week against Villa.
I think I would stick with him, yeah. Because, I mean, I think that's a really good captaincy choice because you don't know whether Ronaldo's going to start against Newcastle. I've heard Man United fans say he will. I've heard Man United fans say he won't. So, I think that's just me taking a... I've got both of them, so that's fine for me. But if I was... Yeah, if I didn't have Ronaldo and I had Lukaku, I would...
Good advice.
Just quickly, it's quite a good one, I think, from Jeff Holt. Who's the best FPL player, Olivia Bazaglo, Jules Breach, or Kelly Summers?
Oh,
I don't actually know who finished. Kelly was very, me and Kelly were very close last season. I always look to see where Jules is because obviously she did the FPL show for years, and I always talk to her. Literally, I was speaking to her yesterday about wildcarding, and she was the one that told me that Ronaldo wasn't going to start, and I was like, Jules, don't do this to me. Like, I've got him in my team thinking he's going to start against Newcastle. But Jules has worked on the show for years. Like, that's been her little thing, and she's always pretty good. But last season, me and Kelly were very, very close. I actually don't know who finished higher out of us two, but I'm not going to say myself. I'm going to say one of Jules or Kelly, because I can't say I'm the best, even though I did have my best ever FPL season last season. So I actually did well, but I'd probably go with them being better than me.
It's got to be so competitive in that studio.
Fair enough. So humble. So humble.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on, though, Olivia. It's been a delight talking to you.
Sorry it's taken long. I'm really rubbish. I need to get so much better at actually, like, replying to people, and because I have my Twitter DMs and, like, notifications off.
I think that's a sensible move. Your phone would just be pinging off, wouldn't it?
I actually opened my DMs, like, public, because at the moment, I've only ever had it where people that I follow can message me. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I don't know, like, for work purposes, maybe I'll open them and see. And I honestly, within the first few hours, I was like, no. And I just had so many messages just from random people DMing me. And I was like, no. So I just closed them again.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, I just was like, no. I didn't even look at half of them. I just scrolled down. I was like, nah. So I just closed them again. But I need to get better. But thank you very much for having me. It's been very fun. And hopefully next time when I come on, I'm talking way more positively about my FPL team and that Lukaku has absolutely smashed it as my captain every week.
Brill. Thank you so much. We'll actually have another episode out before game week 4 starts, and we'll have another special guest as well, which is good. And yeah, just keep an eye out on our socials, I suppose, is the best bit of advice we can give, isn't it? At FPL Triple Cap, remember.
Yeah, keep an eye out on there. We'll let you know when the episodes are released, of course. And yeah, absolute pleasure talking to you, Olivia, and really appreciate you coming on.
Oh, thank you.
All the best for the season.
I need it, Jesus.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Dilemmas with Jess Ellis.
Hi, my name's Jess, and you may remember me from playing Tegan Lomax in Hollyoaks for 5 years. Until I got unfortunately squashed to death by a tree and was left with a dilemma about what I should do with my life next. Well, this is it, my podcast, Dilemmas with Jess Ellis. Basically, in an Instagram world where everyone looks like they've got their shit together, we prove that they haven't by talking through your real life problems with celebrity guests every week. We've had Duncan from Blue come on the podcast, Mandip Gill from Doctor Who, Gabby Allen from Love Island, Jake Quickenden, Kieran Richardson, and loads more. And we've got loads more celebs lined up ready to jump in and solve your headaches, no matter how big or small they are. We'd love you to send us your dilemmas. And of course, if you ask us to, we'll keep them completely anonymous. Just slide in our DMs on Instagram or Twitter at DilemmasJess. And that's it. If you're as nosy as I am, give Dilemmas with Jess Ellis a listen. And don't forget, nobody's got the shit together. And you are doing just fine.
Dilemmas with Jess Ellis from Sound Rebel.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.